We had the worst mass shooting in US history. The President of the United States called it an act of pure evil. Who can disagree with that, right? Anybody can see that pumping bullets into a group of innocent people, killing 58 people and injuring more than 500, is an act of pure evil. What really takes an effort to figure out is what you are going to do about it. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road. Bill O'Reilly, a famous TV pundit, called this kind of massacre the price that we pay for the freedom that we have in this country. The freedom, that is, to buy guns of whatever kind that we want. And one of the things that, in keeping with this freedom that we want in this country, one of the things, the first things that this administration did was to remove the restriction for people with mental issues from buying guns. Okay, that was one of the first things that this administration thought was important to do. The justification being that just because someone is mentally ill, you cannot discriminate against them and deny them their constitutional right to guns. Then just this week, they were about to pass another big gun legislation that removes restrictions on having silencers on guns. I want you to think about this. When you have an active shooter situation, and if the shooter is far away and hiding in a building, and you cannot really make out where the gunfire is coming from, the SWAT team operators who come to deal with the situation, they use a special technology called the gunshot detection system. So they have sensors with multiple microphones that pick up these sounds, compensate for echoes and sound ricocheting off walls of buildings, and that system can analyze a sound and very quickly detect where the gunfire is coming from. Now this system, because it uses microphones and is using the audio that is coming from the gunshot, it's very important that it can hear those sounds. So if you are going to now allow shooters to put silencers on their guns, you are going to make life more difficult for law enforcement to locate where the shooter is. But in this country, we have forces of evil that would go to any extent to protect guns and gun accessory sales. And they would place the sales of those things much higher than human life. And that is what has made mass shootings, like the event in Las Vegas, can you believe this, the 273rd mass shooting of this year alone. We still have a whole quarter of this year remaining. I think that freedom that has no limits or boundaries is stupid and destructive. We do not practice such boundaryless freedom in any other aspect of our life. Boundaryless freedom is not biblical by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I will go on to say that people and organizations who support this kind of unrestricted access to lethal weaponry are pure evil themselves, and you can quote me on that. But today, I'm not going to be talking specifically about gun legislation. I want to address a broader issue. If we are surrounded by so much evil, how then should we battle it? How do we train our hands for war, as David is crying out to God in Psalm 144? You see, as Christ followers, we are called to be Christ's foot soldiers in this battle against evil. And if we are going to be in this battle, the first thing that we need is a cue to our enemy's tactics. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 puts it this way. So that Satan should not outsmart us, because we are aware of his schemes. So we need to be aware of Satan's schemes so as not to be outsmarted, right? And Satan has many schemes up his sleeve. One of those schemes that I want to focus on today that is happening a lot in this country is truth distortion. In the battle that David is in too, he too is dealing with an enemy who is full of lies. Rescue me, David is crying. Rescue me from deep waters, from the power of my enemies. Their mouths are full of lies. They swear to tell the truth, but they lie instead. The battle against truth distortion is what I'm going to focus on today. Well, the first thing to remember is that Satan is the father of lies. And to put that in present-day lingo, you could say that Satan is the father of fake news. Right? Now, when I was a kid, I had always wondered why the Bible makes such a big deal about lying. Well, isn't lying one of those most minor sins that you can ever commit? And you know, it seems that, especially if you commit one of the, it's one of those small white lies that doesn't hurt anybody. What's the big deal, right? Well, it is really a big deal. Let me just give you a little bit of context. You know what the Bible says, right? As it opens, the very first words that come out of the Bible is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And how does God create the heaven and the earth? He does it by speaking. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the chapter then goes on to describe how God speaks, and layer by layer, the universe as we know it came into being. In other words, you see, all of this reality that is around you, all this reality, Genesis 1 is saying that behind all the reality that you see, there is a blueprint. And that blueprint is the Word of God. And that blueprint had to be so perfect that it is part of the being of God Himself. And that is the meaning of John 1 when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. I think the Sunday school kids will remember, I think that is the verse that you had last Sunday, right? In other words, the power and integrity of God's Word is the very defining character trait of God Himself. And so every lie that is uttered in this world is for God like a nail being scratched on a blackboard of the universe. Do you remember that feeling? I don't know if you use blackboards anymore, but there are two teachers in this room. I remember being creeped out, sent a creepy feeling up my spine. Think of every lie that is uttered, sends that feeling through God's spine. Because this universe, He created it out of the pure perfection of His being. Okay? Now Satan, on the other hand, is just the opposite. Satan thrives on deception and twisting the truth or hiding it. Since we are talking about gun violence today, did you know that the NRA lobbies the US Congress to block all funding of research into gun injury prevention? Can you imagine? Why would you want to prevent research into gun injury prevention? You can be sure that the NRA does not want you to find out the truth about what guns are doing to this country. But let me tell you this, even the NRA cannot hide the basic statistics about gun violence. Did you know that every year 31,000 people die in this country because of gun injuries? Now let me put that in context for you. Do you know how many people died in 9/11? Just a little bit under 3,000. In other words, you have 10 times the amount of people dying every year from gun violence than the number of people who died on 9/11. But the 3,000 people that died on 9/11 triggered the United States starting two wars. And I'm not even going to go into details of how many people were killed in those wars. One of the war executed in Iraq, and the one that has still been executed in Afghanistan, which is now almost 15 years and running with no end in sight. Yet the deaths that we experience due to gun violence that is killing 10 times more people than 9/11 every year, and all you hear from our government officials is that we offer our thoughts and prayers, and please don't talk about gun legislation, and please don't politicize this. Thoughts and prayers, my friends. And you know something else? Every time there is a mass shooting in this country, the stock price of gun companies goes up. Because for some reason, every time there is a mass shooting, people go out and buy more guns. Did you know that this time at the Las Vegas gun incident, they had those special devices that were attached to the semi-automatic rifle to make them fully automatic? It seems that those devices have gone out of stock now because everybody has gone and bought those devices. That is what happens when there is a mass shooting in this country. For some reason, everybody thinks that something is going to be done, that the government is going to take away the guns, and so they go up and buy a whole bunch of more guns. And the NRA stance is this: gun ownership is a fundamental right in this country. And any controls on gun violence, even suggesting the most common sense gun violence, and the NRA starts a fear campaign that the government is going to come to take away your guns. And so the NRA sells fear through its lies, and as long as people are fearful of something, they will keep buying guns. The NRA will never tell you that the people who have guns are the most likely to shoot themselves or their loved ones accidentally because of those guns. No, they will hide that truth and instill fear by telling you that the government is trying to take your guns away, so you should defend your right to weapons by buying even more guns. That is how evil forces use lies to distort the truth and deceive the simple-minded. Why? Because Satan is the father of lies. John chapter 8 verse 44 says this about Satan: when he lies, he speaks according to his nature, for he is a liar and a father of lies. In fact, he has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him, only falsehood and deception. So the question is this: if you know that one of the tactics of evil forces is truth distortion, then how would you combat it? You would combat truth distortion by a test. I'm using the word test as an acronym. T-E-S-T. Stand for think, expose evil, stand up for the truth, and train your mind with scripture. 4 points, right? So let me start with the first one. T for think. The first thing you need to do when you have information coming at you is to think through that information. Don't be simple-minded and believe everything that you hear. Proverbs 14 and verse 15 says this: the simple-minded believe everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. When you receive information, you have to analyze the information for internal consistency and credibility. Does this information make sense? Is it consistent with what I know to be already facts? John chapter 4 verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." If it is to do with a principle or the question of right and wrong, go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about the issue. Paul in the New Testament commends the Bereans, Acts 17 verse 11, because the Bereans tested the truth of everything they heard, even Paul's own sermons. They went back, examined scripture for themselves, and verified if what Paul was telling them was true or not. So this is what you need to do, my friends. The first thing the scripture says is question everything that you hear, even the things that I myself am preaching to you. Go examine it, compare it with what scripture says. Remember to use the proper rules of interpreting scripture that I explained two Sundays ago. If the information is about something that you won't find directly in the Bible, then make sure that you check reliable sources. So for example, if somebody were to tell you that you should not let the government put rules around guns because their real aim is to take away all guns from people, just think to yourself, does that make sense? Is setting limits on something the same as taking away somebody's rights? If you cannot control the use of a lethal weapon, then what about the right to life of those 31,000 people who are being killed every year in the greatest nation on earth? Don't those people have rights too? What about their right to live? What happens when two rights clash with each other? The right to own weapons clashes with the right to live. Then how do you prioritize those two rights? Think. The simple-minded believe anything, but the prudent give thought to his steps. The second tactic we need to use against information distortion is the E that stands for exposing evil. Ephesians 5, 11 to 12 says this: "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret." You see, evil loves to hide and make itself invisible. In fact, evil knows many ways of making itself invisible. Abusers induce fear in their victims and threaten them to maintain secrecy. And with that secrecy, they are able to continue and propagate abuse for generation after generation. The only way to stop it is to overcome the fears associated with the threats and to expose evil and bring it to light. Another technique that evil uses to hide itself is to justify its actions under a different pretense. A great example is the NRA justifying making money off people's fears and mass shootings by calling it a protection of the Second Amendment freedom. Well, Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We, my friends, are called to be society's whistleblowers. In the New York subway, they have this catchphrase written everywhere. If you see something, say something. If a person or organization is cheating or deceiving, then we need to be the whistleblowers. Of course, people will always threaten you, call you a snitch, and make you pay a price. But what people in general say is not important compared to what Scripture says. Because Scripture says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Never be afraid to be a whistleblower. Because Ephesians 5:11 is very clear that we need to expose evil and not cover it up. Not even our own. Remember, evil deserves no secrecy. In fact, evil needs to be exposed to the light, because when it comes to the light, that is when evil gets extinguished. The third counter strategy that I want to share with you is the S in test for standing up for the truth. Stand up for the truth, no matter what the cost. Psalm 94:16 says this: who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will stand up for me against those who practice iniquity? You see, God expects His people to stand up and say something when what is happening is in violation of God's law or falsehood is being propagated. You see, in Israel, there were two kinds of prophets. The first kind was a prophet who depended on God, was an independent operator, and who was called to convey the truth and would convey the truth to power no matter what the cost. The second kind of prophet was somebody who was actually on the payroll of the king. They had a comfortable existence, living in the palace, enjoying the palace food and all the perks that comes with being in a king's court. But this was the caveat. When the king would consult them about God's will about a particular situation, or whether they should go into battle or some kind of battle strategy, then they had to always tell the king what the king wanted to hear. And these people were masters at doing just that. On the other hand, you have prophets like Elijah and Jeremiah who weren't on the king's payroll, who didn't care what the king would do to them, but they would always tell the king the hard truth and nothing but the truth. And they would face a lot of flack for what they told the king. In the spirit of this message, I myself will go out on a limb and say that a significant portion of the evangelicals in this country have become beholden to the current administration. They receive perks from the executive office, like access to the president, and the president then passes laws that are something that they like. And in turn, they tell the president what the president wants to hear. This is a pattern that has been going on for millennia. Going against the majority or going against somebody in power comes with a great price. And you can only do it if your love for the truth and if your love for God is higher than any other element in your life. Unless you prioritize God over everything else, it's impossible to be able to stand up for truth like the prophets, the true prophets in the Old Testament were. So the third element of this battle against truth distortion is to stand up for truth no matter what the price to pay is. And there's a final element in this battle for truth that I want to present today, and that is the last T in the word test, and that stands for training your mind with scripture. See, Psalm 119 verse 105 is something that a lot of kids learn in Sunday school, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So what the Bible is saying is this, that God's word can illuminate the path that your life can take. And how does it do that? By illuminating your mind first. And how does God illuminate your mind? I'm going to start by the words of Proverbs 8, 5 to 7. It says, you simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. So, if you want to know what good judgment looks like, and if you want to tune your mind to the truth, the Bible is the book to absorb. There is no deception in it. It's all truth. And when you hear truth and you get used to the truth, you will recognize truth and you will also recognize deception. There's another concept that the Bible presents for us. And the concept is this. It says, fear, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? It means this, that when you train your brain to fear only the God of the Bible, then you get the basis for all decision making in your life. Isn't that incredible? Just train your brain to fear only the God of the Bible, and you will have to make the best decisions of your life no matter what the situation is. Train your minds with the help of God's word, my friends, and you will never fail or never fall. Four elements to find to help you fight truth distortion. Fight truth distortion with the test of truths. T-E-S-T. Think, when you hear something, think critically about that information. Ask intelligent questions. Don't just take information given to you at face value. E is for expose evil. Evil loves to lurk in the shadows, to pretend that it does not exist. In fact, Satan himself would love for you to believe that he doesn't exist. And a lot of people do. But you have to combat truth distortion by being willing to expose evil wherever it exists. Third thing is the S, standing up for truth. God expects you and me to stand up for what is true and not just go along with fake news. We have to be willing to speak truth to power, no matter what the cost. And the final T in test is to train your brain on scripture. Train your brain to fear the God of the Bible alone and have no other fears in your life. And that will make you fearless to deal with any distortions of truth out there and give you the wisdom to navigate life no matter how distorted the reality seems around you. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you that you did not just throw us into battle with the enemy and leave us to deal with it by ourselves, but you walk alongside of us. You train our fingers for battle. You equip our minds. You give us scripture so that we can become prudent and wise. Wise to make decisions. Wise to the schemes of the enemy. And so that we can shoot our arrows and overcome the enemy and bring victory to your name and uphold the truth, so that the truth can be the light that shines in this dark world. So help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.